know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you.
Greg Morgan here with Mayor Chad Baczynski now after a city council meeting yesterday, the last one before their summer break. And I think just as important is an update on construction, Mayor, from you. Thank you for being here. A lot of people asking if you are set to make any more moves to alleviate motorist frustrations, because leaving work at the end of the day in downtown Regina is super aggravating because of the 11th Avenue construction. Can anything be done to ease the 5 o'clock rush?
I know even our folks in the city there who are overseeing some of these things, I mean, they're communicating basically daily with the folks down there. Anything we can do to change signage, to change, you know, how the lanes are working, they're constantly trying to pivot and see if we can do things. The reality is that's a big stretch of road to block off, and it is frustrating. And I completely acknowledge that. I mean, I drive down there as well. It's tough getting around. But the reality is we have to get it done. There's infrastructure from 1913 buried under there that we have to get replaced. And when it's all said and done, it's going to be an absolutely transformative project to get done. So short-term pain for some long-term gain there. And I totally agree. It can be frustrating for sure.
Okay. And Jane was texting. She was asking, why do you have 11th Avenue from Broad to Albert Street closed when you're only working on three blocks from Broad to Scarth since April? She says that's an inconvenience, and she walks a few extra blocks to get to her vehicle.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the reason for that is because the city's portion of our underground infrastructure and the road work that we're doing is on the first chunk coming from Broad inwards, and then I think it's about to Lorne. From the rest of the way is actually, I know SAS Power is in there doing their work, and so there's actually multiple crews trying to get all that done at the same time. So as it stages over, we will start to see it open up. So we're moving from Broad to Albert, and so as SAS Power gets their stuff done, we shift over to that phase, and the first leg from Broad inwards through to, I think it's around Lorne, but I can confirm that, will be opened up. So this is probably the worst of it, because we have multiple organizations working at the same time.
Is Dewdney construction on time, or is it behind?
It's going well. You know, as of right now, I think we're hopeful that we're going to get it substantially completed here before the snow flies. So just down at the warehouse district there, they have a regular meeting with the businesses, with the crews. And so, you know, there are some challenges with some of the older infrastructure and the deep, deep pipes that are down there that they're working on. But they're working hard to get it done. And actually, if you're checking it out, you can actually start to see some of the paving and some of the paving stones that are getting put up there. So things are going well.
Okay. You feel they got enough parking for those who are trying to support local?
Yeah, you know what? There is parking. And I know, you know, that was actually one of the topics that came up, is I think the sentiment from the businesses was there is parking. It's sometimes, you know, tricky to kind of navigate to find where that parking is until you get into the area. So there's signage once you get in there. So there's going to be some concerted efforts to try and communicate that even better.
Mayor Chad Baczynski, before I let you go here too, I'm going to go a little longer here. Back in April, you confirmed City Manager Nikki Anderson was taking a leave of absence. It wasn't clear if she was going to return. So is that any clearer now? We haven't heard anything.
And I appreciate, you know, the curiosity in that. And yeah, just given that it's a leave, you know, there's nothing to update yet. As soon as there's, you know, information that we can share, I will absolutely be happy to share that.
Could this turn into something where the city might be on the line for a payout if she's not coming back?
It's too early to say anything about that. Like I said, it's a personnel matter that we have to kind of work through that, and then we'll kind of figure out after that. But right now, it's too early to say any of that kind of thing.
Mayor Chad Baczynski, how was the last day of school in your household? I sure hope those report cards were good.
Report cards were good. I was proud of my kids. Yeah, they were pretty happy to show me when I got home. So, no, it was exciting. You know, I know there was lots of fun activities throughout the city at all the schools, and my kids were no different. So I know, I think we handed out $5 here and there to hit up Dairy Queen and otherwise. So,
wow.
Big shout out to all the teachers. My wife works in the schools, and man, I know kids get pretty excited in that last week leading up to summer. So kudos to all the teachers for surviving it.
Nicely said. Nice way to finish. Mayor Chad Baczynski, have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Greg. Reaching
out, touching me, touching you. Sweet.
week of school and, of course, a lot of vacations will start to crank up in the coming days. And if you've ever been wondering whether or not you should go to the East Coast, check out Halifax. This might be the weekend to look into it, because those direct flights to Halifax at the Regina Airport start this weekend, Sunday, as a matter of fact. James Bogus from the Regina Airport, he's the CEO.
Once per week flight with WestJet, departing YQR on Sundays. It's going to be a great opportunity for Europe. Also Halifax, man, check out that Citadel. There's lots to do downtown, and hopefully get some people coming out here. I know Tourism Regina and a whole bunch of us are excited. Hopefully welcome some folks from Halifax to Regina.
James Bogus, and yeah, they run till early September, those directs, and with them, I thought I'd check in with Nova Scotia Tourism. I talked to Pam and asked her why we should come and what's there to do and see. She was excited to have you.
You can spend your time in downtown Halifax, or it makes for a convenient base to go to places like a Peggy's Cove. It's the lighthouse. It's the iconic view of Nova Scotia. It's the most photographed location, believe it or not, in all of Canada. It's a small community of 35 people that live there. And they receive about 750,000 people visiting every year.
Wow.
You know what else is interesting is that we have the only airport in the world in Halifax that actually has a lobster pound in it. So this is a Clearwater Lobster Shop. After you check your bags in and get tickets, you have to walk right by to go to security, and you can actually buy live lobster. They pack it up right there at the Clearwater Shop, and you carry it on just like carry-on, but it doesn't count as a carry-on.
There you go. Pam Wambach from Nova Scotia Tourism inviting you to take advantage. Those direct flights to Halifax this weekend from YQR starting Sunday. I also spoke to Donna Fritzky from Moose Jaw Tourism. She's new at the helm there, and congratulations, Donna. Nice to have you in the office there. And I asked her about, well, fireworks this weekend, and also yesterday we talked about how Mac the Moose is so popular. She says, yeah, there are people lined up every day.
You know what? You should just come hang out at the visitor center for a day and see the amount of people that stop in to have their picture taken with Mac. It's just phenomenal. I can't believe it. It's so cool.
Hey, you're celebrating Canada Day this weekend on a Saturday. This Saturday, what's the plan?
The fireworks are going to be at Hamilton Flats. It will start at 10 o'clock. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We've got Paradise Fireworks from Regina coming out to do the show. And we're just really excited to be able to join with our, you know, family and friends and start the long weekend off right.
And having it Saturday night, you're so kind to Regina, because anyone in Moose Jaw wants to come to Wascana Park on Tuesday to see fireworks again. You've allowed that to happen. So smart thinking on your part.
Well, thank you. There's a lot to learn with this job, and I'm just really thankful that we can have fireworks, and we're just going to celebrate with our community.
Awesome. I really hope that it's a big turnout in Moose Jaw Saturday night, and don't forget to our fireworks. Next Tuesday is Canada Day in Wascana Park at about 10:30, the fireworks, and Harlequin is giving a free concert as well in Wascana Park next Tuesday. Lots of people taking Monday off to extend their weekend and making it extra long. I want to give a shout out to everyone in the Swift Current area. Frontier Days has begun their annual exhibition, and this year they found a special parade marshal and a gentleman who seems to be a community leader and community favorite. And I had several calls that I should make everyone aware of this next guest of mine, who's on the phone from Swift Current, extremely well known. Archie Green joins me. Welcome, Archie.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for doing this. How many years young are you?
I'm 89 years old.
Rumor has it you're a legend in Swift Current. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I hear that you do just about anything you can to help the community out.
Well, it's a good community. I've always maintained that it's probably the best, the safest, and the best place on the face of the earth is right in the southwest corner of Saskatchewan.
I got to tell everyone a little about you, my friend. You know, you moved to Prince Albert to work as a telegraph messenger for CPR way back in the day when you were 16 years old. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Those were pretty tough days.
And you became a permanent telegraph operator at Swift Current in 1955. You worked full-time. You completed your grade 12 by correspondence from Swift Current Collegiate Institute in 1957.
Well, it wasn't by correspondence. I don't know how they got that tangled up. I worked afternoons, and I went to regular school classes during the day.
Wow, you were a busy man.
Oh, well, had to do something.
You must have got married at some time or another, did you?
Yeah, in 62.
Did you raise some children there?
Oh, yeah. We have four kids.
You've done incredible work raising a family and incredible work within the community here, too, and you've been recognized in so many ways. What are some of the services you've done that you're most proud of?
Well, I guess first off is South Canada, 75 years leader. I was with the Swiftcurrent United Way for 50 years.
Do they call you Archie or they call you Charles?
No, they always call me Archie. Archie was the name of the doctor that came to the farm when I was born. His name was Archie Kitely. So.
And Archibald, your last name, so I see where you're going with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Here you are. You are going to be what? Parade marshal for Frontier Days. The big fair is on this weekend. How have you seen Frontier Days evolve over the years?
Oh, goodness gracious. I've always been interested in the way the Midway would look after the kids could come and they could get their rides and stuff. And the displays in the various buildings was always interesting. And I've always had really good displays put in place. So it's always an interesting tour to go through there. At least I think it is, anyway.
When you were younger, in your younger days, or maybe still, do you go on the Scrambler just for laughs and the Midway?
No, I don't think I'll be taking any rides on the Midway.
Well, Archie, you're going to be the parade marshal. This is a big deal. You're going to be along the parade route on Saturday at 10 a.m. What do you think it is? Why do you think the community loves you so much? You're handsome, good looks, for one, right?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. You've got me on that one. I can't answer that. Because I do it because I like to do it, and I think it helps everybody. So just one of those things that comes along.
Yeah.
It's certainly a quite an honor.
I think you're deserving of it. Everyone I've spoken to about you, my friend, tells me about what a great man you are and how great you've been for Swiftcurrent and area, and they all said you're highly deserving of it. Soak it in, brother, on Saturday at that parade. I want you just, shaking hands, waving, and taking it all in.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll have to do all that, yeah.
I wish you well this weekend, my friend. Thank you for joining me for a few minutes.
Well, thank you ever so much for the call.
Enjoy Frontier Days.
I sure will, and thank you ever so much.
Apparently it's hell in Venice. Jeff Bezos and his wife-to-be, Lauren Sanchez, have touched down in Venice yesterday ahead of what may be the most extravagant wedding the floating city has ever seen after a helicopter ride to his support yacht. Yes, that's such a thing for billionaires. The couple has kicked off a multi-day celebration fit for royalty. The guest list? Oh, there's Kim Kardashian, Mick Jagger, Leonardo DiCaprio, multiple Trumps. And apparently they've locked up 5 luxury hotels. They're all booked solid. The local airport bracing for a log jam of private planes. Security provided by ex-U.S. Marines. Locals are not happy. They have plastered the city with no space for Bezos posters everywhere. And I don't know. These billionaires, they should just stay out of the limelight, I think. Don't rub it in everyone's face. Just stay in the shadows. We minions don't need to know how wonderful your life is compared to us. Billionaires should just hang out with billionaires. I have nothing against billionaires. Wish I was one. But I don't want to know you. Like whoever owns Google. They got to be a billionaire. I don't know who they are, though. I like that. You don't know, you just go in the shadows and count your money. That's all. Hey, this F1 movie with Brad Pitt is opening up at the Kramer IMAX Theater. And I think if you're interested in it, that's where you want to see it. It's from the makers of Top Gun's reboot, Maverick. And this movie, according to producers, turns out so realistic because they shot during races.
Well, the goal of this film was to give people the experience of what it's like to be in a Formula One car. And only 20 people in the world get to do that. So what you're seeing on the screen is something that was captured for real. And IMAX in the expanded aspect ratio with the giant screen and the great sound is the best way to kind of experience that immersive quality of the film.
Yeah, the entire movie was shot in IMAX, so not just 45 minutes or an hour of it, kind of like what Mission Impossible did, although that looks spectacular. The whole movie in IMAX, and the Mercedes F1 team was hired to build a custom fleet of race cars for the movie. The cars would have been too heavy with traditional camera equipment, so Mercedes built 15 cameras mounting on all aspects of the car to give you the feeling you're right in the race. Footage was filmed during real race weekends, including the Formula One race in Vegas last year. And since footage was filmed during race weekends, the filming windows were incredibly tight for actors. They had to do a lot of stuff in one take, but the producers also needed all the real F1 drivers to play themselves in the movie to make it easier. So once drivers understood from producers what they were trying to accomplish, they all jumped on board, he said.
You know, once we explained how we were trying to make the most authentic racing movie ever made and how we were approaching it, they were all really open and willing and to share their ideas and their stories, play themselves in the film, drive their real cars for the film, which was pretty amazing to be able to race next to them. They were fantastic, and we couldn't have made this film without them.
Brad Pitt and Damson Idris, they had to train for almost 4 months preparing for the role and did most of the driving, stunt doubles in the crash scenes. That's about it. But I'm not a big Formula One or car racing guy, but this movie has caught my attention. I saw the trailer for it before Mission Impossible at the IMAX, and yeah, because it's shot entirely in IMAX, it looks really, really cool. It's getting some good reviews, too. I think our resident movie critic, Brett Buster, is going to go check it out for us tonight, and he'll give you a review tomorrow at this time. F1, it's at the Kramer IMAX on that ginormous screen.